Well, over the last few weeks, we have journeyed together exploring the Psalms. Now, the encouragement for this came from Mr. Brandon, our director of children's ministry. In a conversation, he said, you know, the kids love when we do the Psalms in Sunday school. I think everybody might. And so we decided to make that a part of our life together. And I am so glad we did because, you know, it's really easy to miss the blessing of the Psalms. So easy to go to the Jesus stories and the Old Testament stories, and the Psalms just sort of make their way around like, you know, garnish, right? This is the day the Lord has made. Okay, good, there's a little one there, a little bit here and there. It's an opportunity for us to dig into these 150 poetic and powerful scriptures that carry with them the full range of emotion. The sermon series, as we've gone through it, the sermons have all been titled Praise to Lament and Everything in Between. And I've been appreciative of that because that's really where we find ourselves in life, isn't it? In between these things, sometimes both, sometimes one, sometimes the other, but a constant movement of these things. And I tell you, that's what's in our Psalms. Praise, lament, and everything in between. I mentioned as we began this series that there really is a psalm for every occasion. To remind you, I mean, if you've ever been so awestruck at evil in the world and you wondered if God could even exist, there's a psalm for that. If you've ever been so amazed at a sunset or the beauty of the mountains that you knew just that God was so awesome, there's a psalm for that. Or if you've ever just been really grateful for all you had and wanted to just say thank you, there's a psalm for that. I hope that you might have come to know in the last few weeks as we look at these beautiful psalms that they're poetic and they're accessible as a record of human emotion throughout all of people's time with their God. I have been struck and even surprised at the effect spending time in the Psalms has had on me. It's interesting. Brandon says we should do the Psalms, and you say, okay, that sounds great. And you figure it'll be a sermon series, it'll be nice. The things I've had to encounter and look at while dealing with the Psalms have been thought-provoking. It's actually forced me to think about some things and look at some things that often it's easy to not want to. In the last couple weeks, we've walked into some very deep moments together as the Psalms reflected on our need sometimes to find a place of refuge in a difficult world, or the deep lament that comes when we wait for God and don't feel a response. Amidst all of those different feelings, I have intentionally saved praise for today. After visiting these very real experiences of sadness and pain, of the laments, it seemed appropriate to celebrate with praise to conclude our time in the Psalms. In fact, that's even what the book of Psalms does. It journeys all over the place, but the very last one, Psalm 150, pulls out all the stops when it comes to praise. It also felt especially appropriate to celebrate praise on this, a communion Sunday. And we'll talk more about that later. Because when we listen to the joy of the Psalms, what we hear is thanks and praise. And actually, the formal communion liturgy that one works through, the Lord be with you, and also with you, lift up your hearts, we lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks and praise. It is right and a good thing to give our thanks and praise. These traditional words of communion remind us it is a good thing to give God thanks and praise. So hear the praise that's offered in Psalm 100 that we opened with this morning. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is God that made us, and we are the Lord's. We are God's people and the sheep of God's pasture. Enter God's gates with thanksgiving, the courts with praise. Give thanks to God and bless God's holy name. For the Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. God's faithfulness to all generations. Or as I said, if you want to take it up a notch, here's Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the mighty firmament. Praise His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute. Praise Him with harp. Praise Him with tambourine and dance. Praise Him with strings and pipe. Praise Him with clanging cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't have breath when I finish that. And someday, I want to have like a band waiting in the back. And as we say each piece, suddenly the lute and the harp and the trumpet and the clanging cymbals all come raging out of the back. We'll work on that. But these psalms and so many others like them are expressions of gratitude from God's people to the God they know. You know, I've often wondered, what is it like for God to hear praise like this? I mean, it's pretty intense praise. When it comes to human beings, I know very few people who take compliments well, let alone endless refrains of thankfulness and praise. You know, I've often reminded folks that when we're angry or upset, that God can handle hearing our negative feelings. God can take our anger. God can be yelled at. I think God's really comfortable with that. But I'd never really thought about God handling all of the thank yous and joyous praises we start sending. That's got to be a lot. And I've always liked to think of God as a humble God. Oh, yeah, okay, you're welcome. You know, as opposed to the God with outstretched arms, yeah, come on, talk to me. Tell me again. How great. Come on, where's that symbol? It's interesting to think of how God might hear and receive our praise. Because, you know, at the same time, we're encouraged throughout all of our scriptures to praise and give thanks to God. We're encouraged to praise God. And if one considers that God had, we'll call it an inspiring role in developing our scriptures, suddenly that humble God thing is a little challenged. If God help put this together and then expressly instructs us to give worship and praise, is this an ego thing? What's going on with this? God says, yep, time to praise. So this got me thinking. That didn't match this idea of the God I know that would say, well, that's nice. I'm glad you appreciate it. So like so many things, I was very surprised as I looked at this more and more to realize that God really is just helping shape our lives when we don't even realize it. God does that. God shapes who we are and helps us become better people in ways that we don't even realize. God is shaping and forming who we are through an invitation to offer praise. You know, actually looking at our Psalms offers a couple insights. How the praise happens tells us something. Heartfelt praise, especially in the Psalms, is tied to action on God's part. Psalm 100 reminds us that God made us, and that's something to give praise for. Or other Psalms might reflect on the way that God has delivered God's people, or that God has given and poured out love and grace, or God offers direction in life. All the Psalms name a specific reason of something God has done, is doing, or has promised. And the Psalms praises the direct result of God's action and presence. You see, praise is not without context. And that's the thing that I think is a blessing to us, that God is asking us to look at the context of our lives. The role of praise actually seems to keep us mindful. We're invited to praise that we might be mindful. I know several people who begin their day by naming things they're grateful for. I know a couple of folks who don't get out of bed until they have named 3 to 5 things that they are thankful for. That's amazed me because there are some times that I have 35 things on my to-do list before I get out of bed. Any guesses who's setting themselves up for a better day? You know, there's an intention that opens their day through this act of prayer and praise. And I think it is prayerful. Being grateful and offering praise is a way to pray. And if not in the morning, prayers of praise can be offered at the end of the day. I know many folks who make that a part of how they conclude their day. It's something Megan and I will be making a part of our bedtime routine with our son Joey, as we were trying to find a way to make bedtime prayer fit into who we are and what that looked like. The idea of saying, let's all take a minute and name something we're thankful for, is a beautiful way to offer thanks. It's a good place to start. You know, there's a marvelously cynical bumper sticker I see occasionally that reads, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. You seen this one? Sometimes I wonder if maybe for me it might be more true to say, if you're not grateful, you're not paying attention. You see, sometimes when we stop to consider why we should be grateful, it changes things. Now, sometimes the hardest part is actually picking things to be grateful for. I mean, it goes both ways. Let me say it this way. Sometimes There have been days where the hardest part of being thankful is only finding three things. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. That's a good problem to have. And to be honest, there are also days that the second thing I'm grateful for is that I could even find a first one. There are different days and different ways we approach this invitation to reflect and be grateful. But those days where I can barely even find the first, probably the days I need it the most. You know, we discussed last week that with only one exception, every single one of the Psalms that is grieving or lamenting or crying out to God, all but one of them, turn themselves to praise by the end. You know, I don't think the psalmists were actually all so happy that quickly, right? That they're expressing their deep grief and by three verses later, everything's fine. Don't think they were. But by spending time listing some reasons they have to be grateful, they're helping themselves get there. In fact, it's more of the look where you want to go mentality. This is where I want to be. And this is what I can remember to help me get there. Because it's important for us to be aware and to remember all that God is doing. We need to make time for praise in our lives so that we can remember our relationship with God and cherish all that God has done and is doing. Because it is far too easy to get so busy or so in our routine that we forget. And that's what happened to me this week. Yesterday I was checking Facebook amidst some different things, and a clergy colleague of mine mentioned, "Oh, it's so fun, I'm getting ready for our Oscar party and writing my communion liturgy at the same time." And first I'm like, "What?" And then I was like, "Wait, communion liturgy? Why are you getting communion liturgy?" "Oh, no!" Oh, sorry, that was a lot louder than I expected. But there was this moment where I was like, "Tomorrow's communion?" Now, the logistics of the bread and the juice, those have been cared for by some wonderful folks. That was ready. I wasn't. You'll notice it's not listed in the bulletin. Now, I would love to say that, oh, you know, February's shorter than normal, and the first Sunday came so quickly on the calendar. That's the reason why. There's no excuse. I was just going through the motions this week. I was so busy and rushed that when I sat down to put the bulletin together, I was on autopilot. Change a couple hymns, put in a couple prayers, everything's good to go. Good, I can move on to whatever's next. This serves as a very poignant example for me. It is far too easy to get going through the life motions that we see and know that we don't remember to be intentional in celebrating God's gifts of love and grace. It is far too easy to be overwhelmed by the realities of our day that we overlook moments to praise God's steadfast presence. It is far too human to get comfortable and neglect to offer thanks for all we've been given. It happens. You see, the invitation to praise God is not for God's benefit. It's for ours. The invitation to praise God is for our benefit. When we get moving through life, we need moments of praise to encourage reflection so that we can be grateful, not for God's benefit, but for ours. You see, our praise and thanks is an opportunity for God to shape us, for God to refocus our worldview, for God to equip us for the hard moments. And so this day, as we celebrate communion, I will especially cherish the words, "It is right to give our thanks and praise." Because this is a moment at this table right now, where we will celebrate and give praise for all that God has done. And if nothing else, in this moment, we can be mindful and intentional that God might shape and form us. So make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is God who has made us, and we are the Lord's. We are the people of God's pasture. Enter God's gates with thanksgiving. Enter God's courts with praise. Give thanks to the Lord and bless God's holy name. For the Lord is good, and God's steadfast love endures forever.